We've been studying a series of lessons called How to Say No to That Stubborn, Sinful Habit. Those sins that so easily beset us. It's those sins that we seem to have more of a problem with than other sins. No, we're vulnerable. And we've looked at a lot of different things that the Bible says about how we can overcome those sins and how we are to approach them. Certainly, we need to be aware that we all have weaknesses, and we need to know what those weaknesses are. And everybody in here knows what your weak area is. And we need to make sure that we give no place to the devil in those areas. I mean, those are the areas that you just don't... I mean, if you know your weak in an area, then stay away from where that temptation is. Don't even take the chance, because you know you're weak. Amen? Yeah. Now, with that being said, with us... looking at some of the ways to overcome those sinful habits, this morning I want to finish this series. And this may be a little harder on you this morning than normal, because what I'm going to talk about this morning is we've already seen ways to overcome those sinful habits. And so we know the way to get victory. Amen? That's what we've been learning about. Now, if you know the way to get victory over that sinful habit, and you know how to get victory over that one sin that keeps on tripping you up, and you do not, and you continue to not get victory over it, that's what we're going to talk about this morning, okay? Because there's a problem. Would you agree with that? I mean, if you know that, hey, this is how I get to victory, and you don't get to victory, you can't blame God. Amen. We already looked at that. You can't say like Adam and Eve, they both blamed each other, and Eve blamed the serpent, and you can't blame God over it. So obviously there's a problem. And so really this morning what we're going to do is we're going to look at the bottom line on why we continue to have problems with that one sin or that one besetting sin, even though that we know how to get victory over it. So in John chapter 6, look if you would, starting at verse 35. And we're going to look at the greatest example of putting aside our will and our desires in order to seek God's will. Because when it comes to you being tempted by whatever sin it is that keeps on tripping you up, every time that you sin, you make a decision to do so. Every time that you sin, you make a decision to do so. In other words, you don't have to. Okay? You don't have to. So really what it comes down to is between your will and God's will. Every single time that you sin, every single time that you mess up that one sin, you say, boy, you know that sin just keeps on tripping me up. Yes, but you made a conscious choice. You either went with what God's will was or you went with your will. Now, Jesus is our greatest example on putting aside our will and our desires in order to seek God's will. In John chapter 6, look if you would at verse 35. It says, "And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst." Drop down to verse 38. "For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Jesus was absolutely focused on what God wanted more so than what he wanted. He was focused on accomplishing the will of God. But why do you think that Jesus was so focused on doing what God wanted to do? Well, it really is pretty easy to figure that out. Is because he loved God, his love for the Father. He says, you know what? He had a love for the Father, and he says, because I love the Father, then I'm going to do what he wants me to do. I'm going to be obedient to him. I want to please him, and everything I do, therefore I'm going to do his will. And may I tell you this morning that if you have a problem with putting your will over the will of God, then you have a problem in the area of your love for God. In other words, your love for God is lacking. You're not going to intentionally go against the will of the person that you love all the time. Amen? If you think you can, then how do you think that's going to work out in your marriage? I mean, if your wife or husband wants you to do something and you say, no, I don't want to do it what you want to do. I want to do what I want to do. After a while, that's going to get pretty old in the house, isn't it? Amen. Why do we do what we do for our spouse? Why would we do what we do for those that we love? It's because we love them. That's the reason we do it. And so Jesus here, he says, not my will, but thine be done. In other words, it's all about my love for you. And so a person today who knows how to get victory over that one sin that keeps on tripping them up. We've already seen what the Bible says on how to get victory. And so when it comes right down, okay, this is my chance to get victory over this one sin that keeps on tripping me up, and all of a sudden you're tempted with it, and you fall again, then at some point there, you said, you know what? Not your will be done, Lord. My will be done. And that shows a lack of love for the Lord. Now, I know that's harsh. But the bottom line is this, folks. We can't keep on like, you know how the world is today, that nothing is our fault. We always have an excuse for everything. You know, if it hadn't been for this, I wouldn't have done that. And if it hadn't been for this person over there, this right here would have happened. That's the way the world is today. We gotta own up and take responsibility. And the bottom line, even though this may seem harsh this morning, me saying if you keep on tripping up to this one sin, you keep on falling into the temptation of this one sin that's a lack of love. Hey, listen, that's just straight shooting. That's no words rather than beating around the bush. It's just telling you the way it is. If you know how to get to victory and you say, no, I'm not going to do that, and the Lord wants you to get to victory, and it's the Lord's will for you not to fall, would you agree that it's the Lord's will for you not to fall into temptation? Now, it happens to us all the time. But it is God's will that for you, when that temptation comes, that you choose to do His will rather than yours. And so if you know the victory, and He's already told you how to get the victory, and you say, nah, I just keep on falling, it just keeps on happening, it's time to take responsibility and say it's your fault, not God's. Amen. And that's just the bottom line. And so that's the reason the name of this is the bottom line, okay? And so your love for God is lacking. Jesus said this in John 14:15. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. You know what that means? That means the Lord has told you that there are things that you should and shouldn't do. And if you love the Lord, you're going to do His will on it. Amen? Now, that doesn't mean that you have to keep the commandments to be saved. It doesn't say that. It says, if you love me, keep my commandments. It never says, keep the commandments to be saved. He's saying, if you really love me, then you'll do what I ask you to do. But if it says there, if you love me, keep my commandments, does it make sense that if you don't keep His commandments, then what? Then you probably don't love the Lord as much as you should. Now, I'm just going to tell you that right now that everybody in this room falls in that category. None of us really love the Lord like we should. None of us do. And I'll tell you the main reason is because of our flesh. But we can't blame it just on our flesh either. Now, we like to do that. We like to say, boy, if it wasn't for this flesh, I'd obey God all the time. Really? Your will is not the... You have to give in to your flesh. Amen? You don't have to give in to it. You can say, you know what? I'm just not going to do what the flesh wants me to do, and I'm going to do what the Bible tells me to do. So you can't just blame it on your flesh all the time either. Again, if you blamed it on your flesh all the time, then you can say, you know what? Well, my fault. It's Adam's. Because if Adam hadn't sinned, death would have never been passed upon me, and I wouldn't have this body. Amen? That's what we could do. At some point, we've got to take responsibility. It is us. And so, it's never God's will that we sin, but if we choose to, then we are lacking love for God. I'll tell you another reason another bottom line reason that we continue to be tripped up by those certain sins, even though we know how to get victory over it. And that is, not only is our love for God lacking when we continue to fall to that sin, but we also lack God's direction. Have you ever said to yourself, you know, I just have no willpower in that area. I just have no willpower. Well, what is your will, really? Well, your will is your basic decision-making capability. Your emotions express how you feel. Your mind says what you know, but your will tells you what you want. That's your will. For example, you know, when the alarm goes off at 6 a.m., we all feel like staying in bed. You know, like, boy, you know, I'd sure like to just roll back over and go to sleep. But Your will makes a decision for you to get up. In other words, you will yourself to get up. Amen? And it's hard sometimes, isn't it? I'll tell you, this morning it was kind of hard for me. Alarm went off and I'm thinking, okay, I'll just snooze just for a little bit without the snooze button. By the way, don't ever do that. Next thing I know, I just pop awake and I looked and it's like 45 minutes later, okay? But you know, if you had no direction or nothing pressing you to drive you out of bed, you'd probably never get up. You never would. Now, there are some things that will affect your will, things like a paycheck. Amen? Now, that'll change your will on getting out of bed. If you know you got to be at work on time. Things such as your upbringing. You know, my mom to this day, I mean, she when I was young, and you know, we went to school, she would get up at like 5 in the morning, fix breakfast, have all this stuff ready and everything. To this day, she still goes to bed at like 7 o'clock at night and gets up at 5 in the morning. She never. It's just a habit that she got. And so that would drive her will. Other things can drive your will, but we as Christians are to have direction, and we're to have God's direction, and it should be His direction that drives our will. In other words, what should drive us to do what we do, what should drive us to not give into the temptation of that one sin that easily besets us, what should drive us to do that is God's will, what the Bible says. But I'm just going to tell you right now that for a lot of people, and probably for everybody in this room in certain areas, what God's word says is not enough to change your will. Again, this is harsh. I understand that. But I'm in there too. If you know that this sin that trips you up all the time, you know that you're weak in it, you know how to get to victory in it, and you know what God's word says about it, and you know it's wrong, it says it right there, and you decide to go ahead and sin anyway, would you agree that what the word of God says really doesn't matter to you too much at that point? You say, oh yes, I know it's wrong, I just know it, I just keep on following it, I just know it's wrong. Oh, no, wait a second. Don't tell me how much that you know that it's wrong, and how much that the Word of God means to you if you're willing to do it despite of what the Word of God says. Right? I mean, you make a conscious choice and you say, at that point you get ready to fall in that sin, here's what you say. I know how God feels about it. I know what the Word of God says about it. It says it's wicked, but it's going to do it anyway. Pretty hard for you to tell me how much the Word of God means to you at that point. It's pretty hard for you to say, well, I believe in following God's direction. No, you don't. Not at that point, you don't. You see, we know how to get victory over it. We know how to avoid the temptation. We know how to avoid even being in a place where we can be tempted in that area. But at some point, you say, you know what? It's not about your will, Lord. It's about mine. It's really not about what the Bible says and the direction that you give me. It's really not about that. It's about what I want to do. Again, it's our will. You've heard me say it before. You'll hear me say it again. Our biggest enemy is ourselves. Our biggest obstacle is ourselves. Again, what we like to do, folks, is we like to blame the world and its influence. Now, yes, the world and its influence is it's everywhere. Okay, we're tempted all the time. But you can't blame the world for the things that you do. You can only blame the world for the temptation that they give. The world doesn't make you do anything. Amen. We like to blame the devil. We'll say, well, I'll tell you what, that devil just gets me all the time. The only reason I messed up, the devil's just too strong. Oh, baloney. The devil couldn't make you do anything. The devil has never made anybody do anything. Don't you know the devil can make people do something that he would have made Job curse God and die? Yeah. But he couldn't. So what did he do? He kept on tempting him to curse God and die. He took everything away from Job and said, okay, if I take everything away from you and I have, you know, and when all that's taken away from you, then he's going to do it. All he could do is tempt. He couldn't make him do anything. The whole thing of the devil made me do it is baloney. Yeah, right. Devil didn't make you do anything, but then again, let's blame the serpent. That's what Eve did. You can't blame the devil. Can't. You got to blame you. Got to blame me. It's our fault. And so we like to blame the flesh, and we like to blame the devil, and we like to blame the world. But it's time for us to take the blame, really. That's the reason why, right there in Genesis, when the Lord confronted Adam, he was waiting for Adam to take responsibility and said, "You know what, Lord? It doesn't matter how I was tempted. I'm the one that ate the fruit." And then he couldn't get that out of Adam, so he goes over to Eve. And Eve had the opportunity of saying the same thing. She could have said, "You know what? It's all me. I'm the one who made the choice to do it. Yes, the serpent was the one who tempted me, but I am the one who ate the fruit." You never hear her say that. You never heard Adam say that. And again, the only one that came clean was the serpent. Strange thing. That's the way we are. And so if we're constantly messing up, we lack direction. Remember what it says in Romans 3:10-11. It says, "That is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God." You know what happens? A person gets saved, and a person stays in his Bible, and not only does he read what he's supposed to do, but he makes himself do what the Lord asks him to do. And the more he learns of God, the more he makes himself do what the Lord wants him to do, the more like Christ he becomes. And the more like Christ we become, the more our will matches the Father's will. And our will start to be what he wants us to do. Amen? That's the reason why it's so important for you to stay in the Word of God and grow as Christians. Because I can tell you right now, if you do not grow as a Christian, even if you do grow as a Christian, it's always going to be somewhat the same until you get to heaven. But the truth of the matter is we have our natural selves. Our will is, from the time, before you get saved, your will is nothing according to God's will. Amen? I mean, you're not even a child of God. But after you do get saved, you become the child of God, and what are you supposed to do? Well, you're supposed to start to grow. You don't know anything as a baby. You just know you got saved, so you start to grow. And you start to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you start to grow in all those things. And as you start to grow and as you start to do what the Lord tells you to do, and you make the conscious effort that says, "You know what? The Lord says I ought not do this. So you know what? Even though I've done it in my entire life, I'm just not going to do it anymore." So you take a step of faith and you do what the Lord tells you to do. And you start to grow and you start to read more. And pretty soon you start to think like what? Like the Lord. You start to not wanting to do those things that God doesn't like you to do. Amen? Now, you say, "Well, how about this one sin that keeps on tripping me up?" Well, you obviously haven't grown very much in that area. Why? Because obviously your will is not God's will when it comes to that area. You know what that means? That means we all have a whole lot more growing to do. Amen? Here's something else it means. For those people who say, "Well, you know, I quit sinning years ago. I mean, I just quit sinning." Well, I'll tell you right now, nobody on this side of eternity is perfect in every single area. Right. Nobody is. I guarantee you, a person says, "I don't sin anymore," it won't take you 15 minutes to find an area where he's weak in. Mm-hmm. Amen. Why? Because we all have a problem when it comes to our will being God's will. And what we're supposed to do is we're supposed to learn more about the Lord so that way we start to be more like the Lord. That's being conformed to the image of Christ. You know, when I was a boy, my dad taught me a lot of things, and I learned from watching him and doing the things that he used to do and doing the things that he asked me to do. And because I spent so much time with him and doing what he wanted me to do and doing it his way, to this day, probably nobody on this earth probably resembles my dad more than me in the things that I do, the way I do them. You say, I've had people say, "Well, how come you do it like that?" I'll give you an example. One of the things that I was taught, and probably some of you do it today too, but whenever you wrap up something, whether it be like a rope or something like that, I was taught that you take that rope and you... Yeah. Right? And after you get all done, then you tie the middle of it and you tie it together. Now, I've always done it that way. I remember one time I was working with somebody a few years back, and there was an extension cord there. And I started rolling it up like this. And he goes, no. "Here's what you do." And he started making these little loops in it. Yeah. Now, I have to admit that it was a better way of doing it. It hurt my feelings to admit that, but it was a better way of doing it. Because once you pull in those little loops, it just, and it's wide open. But the only way I knew to do it was like this. Why? Because that's the way my dad did it.
That's right.
Well, see, when it comes to your Heavenly Father, if you want to know how to do things, if you want to know how He feels about things, if you want to learn about the things that He dislikes. I mean, to this day, there are a lot of things that I dislike, honestly, for no other reason than the fact that my dad did. Honestly, I'll just tell you that. I mean, my dad was, there's no doubt in my mind, my dad is the one who made me hate black jelly beans. Because he ate one time, and I saw the look on his face, I'm like, I ain't trying it. And to this day, I will not try black jelly beans. Why? He didn't like it. That was good enough for me. May I tell you that, listen, the more you know about the Lord, the more time you spend with the Lord, the more you start to do the things that the Lord teaches you to do, the more like the Lord you're going to become. And the more you're going to say, I don't like that sin right there. My Heavenly Father doesn't like for me to do that right there. And he hates that sin, and I'm just not going to do it. And if you keep on falling into that one sin that keeps on tripping you up, I think you need to spend more time with the Lord and understand what He thinks about that sin. We need to grow. Amen? Now that's just the bottom line. That's the reason why Paul said in Colossians 1:29, he says, whereunto I labor, striving according to His working, which worketh in me mightily. Philippians 2:13, for it is God which worketh in you to will and to do of His good pleasure. Another bottom line reason that we mess up is we lack God's direction. We also lack commitment. We also lack commitment. As Christians, we must look at the things that we want and ask ourselves, are we focused on the temporal things or are we focused on the eternal things? Turn, if you would, over to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. What are we focused on? When we keep on getting tripped up by that one besetting sin that always seems to get us, what are we focused on at that point? Are we focused on temporary things? Are we focused on eternal things? In Hebrews chapter 11, look if you would at verse 24. Hebrews 11, verse 24. It says, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Look what it says at verse 25. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. Listen, Christ greater riches. Egypt was the richest country upon the planet at that time. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect and the recompense of reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. In other words, Moses was not focused on, if you think about it, Moses could have had it all when it come to riches, when it come to power, when it come to, you know, to position. He could have had it all. I mean, he was Pharaoh's, I mean, his daughter's son, not really son, but the son that she claimed to be hers. He could have had it all. But he wasn't focused on that. He wasn't focused on the temporary. Amen. He was focused on the eternal. Mm-hmm. Now I'm going to tell you something. When you give in to that one sin that always seems to get you, at that point, you are only focused on the temporary. Because I guarantee you, anything that you lust after on this side of eternity is the temporary.
That's right.
It's temporary. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, the pride of life. All three of those are on this side of eternity. There ain't nothing on the other side of eternity there. That's reading it says, all that is in the world is the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Anytime that you fall into temptation, you fall into one of those categories. One of those categories is where you got tempted at. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, or pride of life. Amen? And so whenever you mess up and whenever you fall that sin, it's because at that point you're focusing on the temporary things of this world. You're not focusing on eternal. I'll prove it. As Christians, we know that when we sin, we displease God. Amen? And we know that if you sin and displease God, you're probably not going to get a reward for that.
That's right.
God is not going to reward you for being disobedient. Amen? So think about this. All of a sudden, here comes a temptation. And you say, I just can't get victory over it. And you fall to that temptation. Don't tell me that you were focusing on the eternal. Because you know good and well that you're not going to get a reward for that. You know that you're not going to, that's not going to be a part of you getting a crown. You know that that's not going to please God. You know that God doesn't love that God hates that sin. You know that, but you made a choice to do it anyway. You know why? Because you were focused on the things of this world that are temporary. You weren't focusing on what's to come ahead in the eternity. No, that's the bottom line. That's the bottom line. I tell you this, folks. Don't think for a second that I'm telling you something that I don't go through every day too. We all have those besetting sins. We all do. But 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, while we look not at things which are seen, but at things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And again, anytime that we fall to that sin, we are focusing on the wrong thing. We're focusing on the temporal. And so that's just three things, three reasons why we keep on falling to it. But I'll give you a fourth one. The last bottom line reason that that causes us to fall to that one particular sin that so easily besets us is because we're also not surrendered. You know, we sometimes sing that song, I surrender all. We sing that song. And I honestly believe that most Christians want to be surrendered to the Lord. I tell you this, when you start to read about what it means to be surrendered to the Lord, you know, the Lord says that if you're going to be a disciple, you got to take up your cross and follow Him. That's called being surrendered. When you surrender your will to the Lord's will, that's called being surrendered. And there are Christians, many Christians, that they will commit themselves to be surrendered to the Lord. They'll say, you know, I want to recommit my life to the Lord. I want to surrender to Him. And honestly, whenever the preaching goes on, we preach so that the unsaved will get saved, and we preach so that the saved people will get right with the Lord if they're not right with the Lord, and that involves surrendering to the Lord. Amen? So what do? We give an altar call so people could come up here and they could get saved. They want to get saved, or they can surrender to the Lord and say, Lord, not my will but thine be done. Maybe you've got an area in your life where you know you're not surrendered to the Lord. And listen, you can say, I am surrendered to the Lord. Not in every area you aren't. And I can prove it. You're not surrendered to the Lord in the area where you keep on falling to temptation. You're surrendered to yourself, but you're not surrendered to the Lord. And so what do? We give an altar call so people come there and say, Lord, I'm just going to surrender to You. And I'm going to tell you, every day we need to surrender not just our lives to the Lord, but every single part of our lives to the Lord. Even that area where you know you're weak in, surrender it to the Lord and say, you know what, I'm just not going to do that. Listen, I'm not going to tell you the temptation isn't going to be strong. Sure it is. Sometimes temptations are very strong. But I can tell you this, the Bible has showed you over and over and over what you're supposed to do when the temptation comes. And I'll tell you right now, in the whole Bible, we're reading the entire Bible, I can tell you that the best example that I have found about what to do, the bottom line, when the temptation comes that you know you're weak in, read what Joseph did when Potiphar's wife walked up and started blinking her eyes at him. The temptation was there. I have no doubt the temptation was strong. But you know what he did? He took off running. I could preach all day long and not get better than that. You say, well, it looks silly running. You think it looks silly you're running? Watch me run one time. But I tell you this, I'd rather run and die of a heart attack running away than to stay there and be tempted. Why? Because I love the Lord. I don't want to fall into the temptation.
That's right.
I'm trying to be committed to the Lord. I'm trying to do what His will is. I'm trying to surrender my life to the Lord. That area, I'm trying to surrender to Him. Not my will, but His be done. So what do? Get out of there. Because you can't handle it. And when that temptation gets stronger and you stay there, eventually, your will is going to overtake God's will. At some point, you're going to put yourself on the throne. And you're going to say, I'm going to do it anyway. Just this one time, nobody will know. I'll get victory over it tomorrow. Just today, we'll just go ahead and do it today. That's what we do. And you know what happens? Come tomorrow, that temptation's still there. It's still just as strong. And you will fall again. You will. Why? Because you ain't seeking God's power over it. You say you are, but you're not. You don't really care about what God feels about it at that point. You say you do, but you don't. You're really not surrendered to the Lord's will there. You say you are, but you're not. Why? You keep falling. And we all do it. Now, I'm just going to throw this out here to you, and this is really depressing. Even though we know the bottom line, and we know that what we're doing is not according to that Bible, and when we give in that sin, we're not following what the Bible says, right? And even though we know that in that area, if we keep on falling to that sin, we lack a love for God, we lack commitment, we lack surrender, all those things, but yet we keep on falling into that sin, even though we all understand that this morning, you will always have an area where you're tempted more so than in other areas. You always will. And I'm just going to tell you that everybody in this room, we're going to continue to mess up from time to time in those areas. Even though we know the truth. Why? Because it's who we are. Now I'll tell you something, folks. I'm glad that the Lord loves me, Lord, more so than Bob Crowder loves me. I look at me every day in the mirror and I'm thinking to myself, my goodness, how in the world could the Lord love a guy like me? And I'm thinking to myself, which is very prideful, I say, look at me. The Lord knew all about me before I ever looked in the mirror. Amen? And I still have problems. And I still have those areas. And I still mess up in those areas. And when I do, I understand that the shortcomings that I have that drove me to continue to mess up. And you have the same thing. Aren't you looking forward to get to heaven one of these days?
Amen.
I think of all the things that I'm looking forward to heaven. Number one is to see the eyes of my Savior face to face. Nothing's going to be better than that. And I'm looking forward to seeing all my loved ones that were saved. They're up there. I'm looking forward to see that too. But I sure am looking forward to being the person that God saved me to be. Amen. And that's not going to happen on this side of eternity. Not completely. Now what you are supposed to do, you're supposed to grow in Christ and be more like Christ every day and be more conformed to Christ because after all, that's what God predestinated you to be like Christ after you're saved. But you will not be 100% like Christ until you get before Christ. When you see Him as He is, we will be as He is. Amen?
Amen?
And so that's the encouragement of it. Until then, we just have to put up with our wicked self and try to grow in the Lord and try to do what the Bible tells us to do. But understand the bottom line. The bottom line is this, is when you mess up, don't blame anybody else. You know how to get victory over that sin. You know it. And if you choose not to, it's on you. It's not on anybody else. You can't even blame your flesh. You can't blame the world. You can't blame the devil. It's you and your will. Amen?